कृपया श्री राम Ladies, no? All right, we will go ahead. So I'm just going to read the other Sanskrit verses, then we'll do by word synonyms, and then we'll do the translation purport. Naimisham palgunam setu pravasota kushastale varanasi madhupuri pampabindu sarastata narayanashramonanda Sita Rama Shramadayaha Sarve Kulakachala Rajan Mahendra Malayadayaha Ete Punyatama Desha Hadera Chashutaschaye Etandeshan Nisheveta Shreyas Kamo Yavikshnashaha Dharmo Yate Atrehita Pumsam Sahasradi Poludayaha. All right. Word by word synonyms. Saramsi lakes. Pushkara Adini. Such as Pushkara. Chitrani. Sacred places. Like Kurukshetra, Gayakshetra. Gayakshetra. And Jagannath Puri, Arha, for worshipable saintly persons. Ashatani, places of shelter. Uda, celebrated. Kurukshetram, a particular sacred place. Dharmakshetra. Gaya Shiraha. The place known as Gaya, where Gaya Shura took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Prayagaha, Allahabad, at the confluence of the two sacred rivers, Ganges and Yamuna. Pulaha Ashramaha, the residence of Pulaha Muni. Naimisham, the place known as Naimisharanya, near Lucknow. Palgunam, the place where the Palgu River flows. Setuhu. Setubandha, where Lord Ramchandra constructed a bridge between India and Lanka. Prabhasaha, Prabhashakshetra, Atta, as well as Kushastali, Dwaravati or Dwaraka. Varanasi, Benares, Madhupuri, Mathura, Pampa, a place where there's a lake called Pampa, Bindu Saraha, the place where Bindu Sarovara is situated, Tata, there, Narayana Ashramaha, known as Bhadarik Ashrama. Nanda, the place where the Nanda River flows. Sita Rama, of Lord Ramchandra and Mother Sita. Ashrama Adayaha, places of shelter, like Chitrakuta. Sarve, all such places. Kula Chalaha, hilly tracts of land. Rajan, O king. Mahendra, known as Mahendra. Malaya Adayaha, and others like Malaya Chala. Ete, all of them. Punyata maha. Extremely sacred. Deshaha, places. Hadehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arja Ashrataha, places where the deity of Radha Krishna is worshipped, such as big American cities like New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, and European cities like London and Paris, or wherever there are centers of Krishna consciousness. Ja, as well as. Yay, those which. Etandeshan, all these countries. Nishe Veta, should worship or visit. Shreyakamaha, one who desires auspiciousness. He, indeed. Abhishnikshasaha, again and again. Dharmaha, religious activities. He, from which? Atra, in these places. Ikataha, performed. Pumsam, of all persons. Sahasra Ati, more than 1,000 times. Pala Udayaha, effective. Translation. The sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Goya, Prayag, Pulahashrama, Naimisharanya, the banks of the river Falgu, Shetubanya, Pravasa, Dwarka, Varanasi, Mathura, Pampa, Bindusarovara, Bharadika Ashram, Narayana Ashramaha, the places where the Nanda River flows, the places where Lord Ramchandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot, and also the hilly tracts of land known as Mahendra and Malaya, all of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped, must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these verses, and in verse 29, stress is given to one point, Harer Archa Shrutas Chaye, or Harer Archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, 4th chapter, text 126. Pritivityache yati yag nagaradi gram saracha prachara haibe mora nam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Mogasya moga karmana moga jnana vachesta saha. It's from the Gita, 9th chapter, text 12. No one can become successful in fruitive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. As recommended in the Shastras, everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna consciousness movement and understanding the value of spiritual life. Okay. So Om Gana Timidanda Sha Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshuram Devitam Yena Tosmai Shigurave Namaha. So in this particular verse, many different holy places are mentioned. And sometimes people question, you know, why do we concentrate on India? And one of the reasons we concentrate on India is that basically all the rivers are sacred. It's called Punya Bhumi. Originally, of course, Bharatvarsha, after Bharat Maharaj. Actually, there's two Bharat Maharajas. One is the son of Rishabhadev, Lord Rishabhadev, and the other one is Bharat, who was basically the son of Shakuntala. That's another story in the Bhagavatam. But in any case, it's Punya Bhumi. Punya Bhumi means pious land. And so basically, just about everywhere in India is a pious place. Of course, I'm not saying that everybody in India is pious. There's a difference. Try to understand the difference. So it's just like you have all these holy places here. Jagannath Puri, Mathura, and you have the Ganges River, the Yamuna River, so many, and even the Phalgu River. The Phalgu River actually is not existing right now. It's underneath the earth. It appears to be a dry sand, but it's underneath the earth. Then you have the Saraswati, anyway, so many rivers. And then even Sri Lanka is holy because Lord Ramachandra was there. So wherever the Supreme Lord went, wherever the Supreme Lord's abode is, it's a holy place. So that's why India is so important. However, just like you have a country and the country has embassies, and the embassies of a particular country manifest that particular country's laws, in the same way, when there are embassies of India, or embassies of holy India, not the mundane India, of holy India, those embassies are under the same jurisdiction, laws, as the original spiritual country. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. Let's say you have an embassy of Russia. Now, Russia, they have certain laws, right? So you probably have a Russian embassy here in Fiji? No? No, okay. You have a Chinese embassy here in Fiji. Okay. Let's pick China instead. So let's say if someone has committed a crime here in Fiji, let's say they've robbed a bank or they've robbed a devotee or something like that, and the police is running after them. And if they go into the Chinese embassy, the police can't do anything. Did you know that? It's really interesting. Because the embassy is under the jurisdiction of that particular country which it represents. In the same way, the Krishna conscious temples, they represent the spiritual world, actually, not just the country of India, but the spiritual world. So they're not under the same rules and regulations. I'm not saying that if someone commits a crime, they can actually come into the Hare Krishna temple and the police won't follow them there. That's not my point. The point is we're not under the same rules and regulations of the material energy. If the temple is properly situated, if the deities are worshipped properly, if the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna nicely, if the devotees are following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, then it manifests itself as a temple. But if the devotees don't follow the four regulated principles, let's say, they're doing something else other than the four regulated principles, they're not chanting the holy names, they're not reading the Bhagavatam, they're not worshiping the deities, then even if you give it the name of a temple, it's not a holy place. Just like you may have a place, let's give an example, Fiji typical example. You may have a place where Ram Katha is being recited, but then after that people are taking Kaaba. You know what Kaaba is? No one here knows what kava is. Okay. I guess I got to explain. It's an intoxicant. It's something that people take. Anyway, and they stay awake all night and act crazy. So that means it's not a holy place. And in one sense, it's not a temple. You could say it is a temple, but it's not a temple if people are doing sinful activities. Then it becomes part of the material energy again. But if people are following and chanting and worshiping the deities, then it becomes a holy place. And the interesting thing is, in a holy place, you get better results for all sorts of activities. Now, it's interesting in the purport and in the verse that even if one is just interested in ritualistic activities, yumakarmakanji activities, you get more results if you do it in a holy place. Even if you're just interested in jnanakanda, you know, probably, actually it's mentioned here, jnanakanda, karmakanja, which are not actually the goal of human life, you get better results. Whether it's a ritualistic ceremony, we're not talking about worship of the demigods, we're talking about worship of Krishna for material goals. Just like you hear about Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj wanted something ritualistic or, let's say, material, he wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. Where did he go to? There's a place called Dhruvatila in Braj. Did you know that? He went to Braj. Dhruvatila means like a hill. I visited that place, where Dhruva Maharaj sat and did his austerities. He went to a holy place. Practically any of these stories where you have persons becoming Krishna conscious, even if they had some other motivation, they do it in a holy place. So we can encourage people to come here. And of course the Bhagavatam states, Akama Sarvakama Moksha Kama Dharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Puram. Whether one is free of material desires, whether is full of material desires, whether one is desirous of liberation, one should worship Krishna and go to a holy place. However, there's another point mentioned here, which Prabhupada doesn't mention in the purport. Prabhupada says, first of all, he says, your activities, spiritual activities, and even ritualistic activities, result in effectiveness increased 1,000 times. But your material activities result in 1,000 times heavier reaction. In other words, your sinful activities, let's say you go come to the temple and you smoke marijuana or something, you get 1,000 times heavier reaction. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's why it says, when one goes to a holy place, one should just stay for a short period of time. Because unless one is actually dedicated to Krishna consciousness or something like that, because ultimately when one becomes complacent, that means you relax and you forget it's a holy place and you do some nonsense activity, the reaction will be heavier. Be much heavier. Because one will forget that one is in a holy place and then not only do sinful activities, but one will actually offend the residents of the holy place. So one has to be very, very careful. Just like we hear about worship of the spiritual master, Bandanvi Savadana Mate, one should be very cautious when dealing with the guru. In the same way, one should be very, very cautious dealing with the holy place. Like here we are, in Krishna Kaliya temple, and we don't understand how spiritual this place is. For example, it's mentioned that the very temple in the Krishna conscious movement or in a holy place is a manifestation of Balaram. So in one sense, we're actually sitting on Balaram here. Not the deity, of course, but it's a manifestation of Balaram's energy. Sage, the sage is holding up all the universes, Balaram. So all the Lord's paraphernalia, for example, you have paraphernalia for the deities here, right? Like the vase, the clothes, the jewelry, everything like that is all manifestation of Balaram's service attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even when you're dealing with the jewelry of the deities, you should be very respectful. Because that's Balaram. The Brahman thread of the Lord is Balaram. The Singhasana is Balaram. The temple which is supporting the deities is Balaram. So one has to be extremely cautious dealing with these different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one's in a holy place. Because if you do commit offenses, heavier reaction. So there's a benefit, a plus, and a minus to be in a holy place. And hopefully I'm not scaring any of you to run away from the temple. Oh my God, 1,000 times more reaction. I better leave here immediately. So, no, if you're going to do sinful activities, step outside. If you're going to smoke a cigarette, go to the street. That's not all right, but at least it won't be such a big reaction as if you do it in the temple. Or if you're going to yell at a devotee, don't do it. Because this is how you treat Krishna's devotees is actually even more important. How you deal with the dear devotees of Krishna is actually even more important than following the regulative principles. Because Krishna, let's say if you chant the holy names like that, Krishna will forgive ultimately sinful reactions. Of course, you should not go and do sinful things with the idea of counteracting them. That's called the seventh offense of chanting. But if you offend the Vaishnavas, then your taste for chanting, your taste for spiritual life will be diminished. So that's the main thing while you're here in the holy place. Of course, respect everything, but ultimately, respect the other Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas are very dear to Krishna. As Krishna says, one who says is my he or she is not my devotee, but one who says they're a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. And that refers to all the Vaishnavas, not just the guru. I mean, everybody respects the guru, at least to his face. You know, at least, hopefully. But to respect the other Vaishnavas, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amanina Manadena, to give respects to everyone. Treat everybody like God, basically, or as a repository, or a temple of God. For example, we have Krishna in our hearts, right? As far as I understand. Krishna is in our hearts, and therefore everyone, in one sense, is a temple of God. So we respect everybody. And especially here in the temple, anywhere, we should not commit offenses against Vaishnava. Then Krishna is very pleased, and we could take advantage. In fact, the devotees, when they go to a place, they make a place a holy place. When devotees go to a place, they purify even the holy places mentioned here. Like here you find the Ganges mentioned. Not directly, but the rivers, sacred rivers. you have the Ganges indirectly mentioned. And the Ganges didn't even want to come down to the earth planet because of all the people who would bathe in her and throw all their garbage in her. And it was assured to her by Bhagirath, excuse me, I'm all right. It was assured to her by Bhagirath that the sages would bathe in her and they would purify her. So the sages, or the presence of the sages, is actually, they create holy places. They purify holy places. Just like wherever Srila Prabhupada was, that's a holy place. wherever Srila Prabhupada spent the night, wherever Srila Prabhupada preached. That's a holy place. So this is very important. Actually, the most important thing is to properly respect those who have dedicated their lives to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, as Prabhupada said, the final line here, no one can become successful in furtive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. And everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna conscious movement, understanding the value of spiritual life. So any questions or comments? No? Yeah.
Diksha,
Samana,
and
Sanskara
sometimes, and
a
lot of people prefer the temple to
have
their marriage.
Yeah, so let them do it in the
meta. Sometimes we also perform diksha outside the temple. Is it justified also?
Sometimes, where, for preaching purposes, where the holy names are chanted, that place temporarily becomes a holy place. It's not permanent. Just like this temple is an embassy of the spiritual world, right? But let's say 500 years from now or 1,000 years from now, let's say if the temple doesn't exist. You know, these things do happen. I hate to tell you. Or let's say we decide to move the temple, we got a bigger facility across the street. We purchase the serviceman's club. Not that that will actually happen, but then that same place, and many times in the past, we rented facility for temples. We didn't own facility. Like in London, the first temple was a rented facility. And now we have our own facility. So it was a holy place while they were renting it, and when they stopped renting it, the devotees moved out and merged back into the Mahatattva. You understand? It's not that these embassies, for example, or let's use the U.S. Embassy. Previously, it was like sort of in the middle of Suva, and then they moved to outside of Suva. I mean, not so far outside. So the laws of the U.S. apply, but when they moved it, it turned back into normal Fiji property. These are embassies, but they're temporary places. They're not permanent holy places. A permanent holy place is like Gaya, Prayag, Kula, Ashrama, Naimisharanya, like that. But it's not that this temple will continue to exist in this particular location forever and ever and ever. I don't think 1,000 years from now. I mean, I hate to say it. It would be nice if the temple were here. I don't think of 1,000 years, maybe 5,000 years from now, the temple won't be here. What do you think? I don't think so. I don't think so. At least 5,000 years from now. So then we may have another temple somewhere else, or it may not be a temple, or it may be after maybe so much Kali Yuga, there's no devotees in Fiji anymore. Who knows? Isn't it? As Kali Yuga progresses, we know that basically there'll hardly be any Vaishnavas. Or let's even 400,000 years from now, towards the end of Kali Yuga, there's not going to be any temples. It's only during this period, it's considered to be the golden age during Kali Yuga of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement that actually will have temples. After that, no. And even in Braj and Vrindavan, it's described that as Kali Yuga progresses, the Yamuna River will disappear and Govardhan will disappear. Govardhan is shrinking every day. And the Yamuna River basically has almost disappeared already because they've actually stopped the flow of the Yamuna River after the Himalayas, before it goes to Delhi. So what people think is the Yamuna water is not Yamuna water anymore. It is actually the Delhi industrial runoff, sewerage. You know, you can't be sentimental. So these are signs of Kali Yuga. So as Kali Yuga progresses, these what we call temporary holy places that Prabhupada's established are not eternal. Whereas Braj, Mathura, is eternal. That's a permanent holy place. Naimisharanya is eternal. The Ganges is eternal. So basically, one can create a holy place temporarily. Wherever there is the chanting of the holy names, then even maybe for one night a holy place is created. Of course, it's better, all things being equal, it's better to have programs in the temple. Yes, yes. But sometimes for preaching purposes, there may be some adjustment like that. But better in front of the deities. Best thing is in front of the deities, you know. Of initiation and everything like that. Better in front of the deities. But you have to make adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance for preaching. But the best thing is in front of the deities. So, any other questions or comments? Yes?
Just like initiation, we have first initiation and the second initiation, that's called Rama initiation.
Yeah.
And if somebody took the Rama initiation and not to repeat it also, so what is the use of that?
Well, he can preach. It's not that every Brahmin has to be exactly the same. There's different Brahmins who do sacrifices, there's different Brahmins who do deity worship, there's different Brahmins who do preaching Krishna consciousness. So, generally in ISKCON, the second initiation is given for deity worship. That's true. However, at the same time, you know, maybe you've got a lot of Brahmin sannyasis who may not do deity worship. I mean, I do deity worship every day. I have my own deities. But it's not that every Brahmin has to do deity worship. They either preach or do deity worship. If they're not preaching, they must do deity worship. Must. Otherwise, what's the use of the sacred thread? It's for Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. What is the use of having a sacred thread unless you're going to do deity worship? Then you're just having a sacred thread to what? Show off. So I'm a Brahmin, so everyone else should serve me. I'm a Brahmin because a Brahmin is eating on behalf of the Lord, right, Bhamsi? Brahma Bhojan. Right? I'm supposed to eat on behalf of Krishna. So, 7:32, so any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned about attachment to holy name.
Yeah. Attachment to the holy name? One gets attached to the holy name if they serve the Vaishnavas, especially in a holy place. That's how you get attachment. Because why? Because a Vaishnava has bhakti. Bhakti is independent. Krishna does not give bhakti. That may come as a surprise. But bhakti is independent. Krishna allows bhakti to be independent. It's an independent energy of the Lord. Of course, not independent in the sense it doesn't listen to Krishna. Or she doesn't listen to Krishna. But the Vaishnava is the one who has bhakti in his or her heart. So by serving the Vaishnavas, Mahatseva Mahurvi Muktes, then one gets bhakti. And that's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmate Kanna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Latabij. That one gets the bhakti latabij by coming in contact with Guru, not just initiating Guru, but any Vaishnava. And that's how you get a taste for the holy name. And if you offend a Vaishnava, especially if you offend a Vaishnava in a holy place like a temple, let's say you yell at some devotee here, that's hellish. Then you lose a taste for chanting. So every devotee should be Prabhu. Why do we call every devotee Prabhu? That means master. And the ladies are also Prabhu. Of course, we may say Mata or Mother or something like that. But we should think the same way. They're all Prabhus. What does Prabhu mean? It means my master. So how can we disrespect the Vaishnava? Isn't it? Prabhu. So we should treat even the person who cleans the pots or whatever, Prabhu. Manina mananena kirtaniya sadhari. If one wants to always be attached to the holy names, one has to be devoid of any desire for respect and ready to offer all respects to others. And that means devotees. I mean, what is it? We recite this every day, Manina Manadena, and we're treating people like garbage? How's that possible? Devotee is very valuable. If we see a Vaishnava, we see anybody, not only a Vaishnava. Prabhupada said we should respect even an ant. It's not that you take an ant and squish like that. So you shouldn't take a Vaishnava and squish like that either. So that's the key to chanting properly. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sada puri. Srinadapi sunichena torori vasihishnuna. Manina manadena kirtaniya sada puri. One should be devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. A tree is very tolerant. It stands for thousands, millions of years. I was just thinking about the twin Arjun trees. How they stood for 100 celestial years. That's a long time, isn't it? What have I asked you to stand for 100 minutes? You'd say, no, sir. But they were made to stand for 100 celestial years. I mean, that's like millions of years. Enduring the heat and cold, whatever. So that's how we should be. Srinadapi sunichena. Tolerant and just offering respects to everyone. Just like a tree. What does a tree do? It gives you shade, right? Or fruits. And it doesn't ask for anything. Did you ever see a tree complain? No. I guess a coconut tree could drop a coconut on your head, you know. So if it gets upset with you. Prabhupada said coconuts have eyes on them, so they don't generally drop on people's heads unless they're demons. I'd never heard of a devotee dying from a coconut on his head. So, yeah, like a tree, ready to offer all service to everybody. So, if we're like that, then we can chant properly. That's the key. And if you're not like that, then don't blame me if you can't chant properly. It's your fault, not mine. Okay, I think it's time to greet the deities. On that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.